Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Oh, boy, what a day. Lots to talk about. Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. Chuck is joining us by telephone. He actually has a day job that he's working right now doing some legal stuff. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine with Dr. Jack Schaefer and Dr. Julie McCallan and the folks at Denver Cenogenics. Want to remind everybody you can always get everything at chuckandjulie.com. We're going to break everything down. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I guarantee this will not be the first day. Dr. Brian Junedep joined us at 3:30. And I want to let everybody know, as we see, back by popular demand, Barney is here. So if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, the number to call in. If you want to go ahead and comment, if you're joining us on Zoom, you can either type your comments in, or better yet, just go ahead and unmute yourself and talk. But Chuck, here's the latest. I know you left. So the latest is Real Clear Politics has the Senate Republicans up to 49. Okay, so 48 to 49, including Kamala Harris. The House is now up to 206. So 187 to 206. They need 218. I was reading run projection 224. Here in Colorado, both CD3, Lauren Boebert's race, and CD8, Barb Kirkmeyer's race, still too close to call. It's looking at in Georgia, then there's three states still at play, basically, in the Senate. Georgia, which it's now been officially confirmed, it's going to be a runoff next month. Arizona, and then Nevada. Both of those, there's like some 500,000 votes still to be counted in Arizona. We've seen what a debacle that was. And Nevada is now saying it'll be at least Friday, maybe next week, before they have theirs counted. I think there's some hope here in Colorado. We might have some returns in those final CD congressional district races. But let me, because I know you have to go, let me go ahead and jump in and your, because you were in the depths of depression last night, but you woke up today.
Well, we went to the Adams County Watch Party and you know, pretty soon it was kind of like, oh my God.
Yeah, we couldn't really call it a victory.
Everybody in Colorado lose, but everybody in Adams County lost. And so then I got home, you know, I'd been really anticipating this night for 3 months. And as I said before, that's probably the most I've anticipating a single day since I was 5 years old waiting for Christmas. Except Santa didn't show up last night. No. Or bad Santa showed up. But I'm really hoping that we can pull the fires out of the thing. If Arizona can come in with the votes and pull Carrie Lake and Blake Masters, then I think we'll take Nevada. And then, who cares, but then we have the runoff in Georgia, and that's only a question of how big our lead is, not whether we take the Senate or not.
Somebody was tweeting, Ron DeSantis hopefully will send his entire team to Georgia. So
yeah, exactly. I hope so. Yeah, and a lot of the voters too.
Here's what I want to say about it too. And that is, there were certainly, it was no red wave. Not even close to a red wave. And, you know, the Democrats are happy because they did not get crushed as badly, even remotely as badly as they thought. But I do think it is important, two things. Number one, to not lose sight of the fact that it looks like we're still going to take control of the House, very possibly the Senate. It was a great night in a lot of places. A lot of seats were flipped. So we don't want to lose sight of that. I think there's some lessons to be learned and places that we go forward from here that are good. And we can talk about that. But I agree. I mean, I'm always like the person that's like, I know there's a pony in here somewhere, but I think we were, and I want to talk about polls here in a little bit too, but I think the fact that it wasn't as good as we were kind of anticipated to be certainly does not, I don't think, mean that we lost. Do you?
Well, it's you know, considering the fact that Biden has a 40% approval rating, high inflation, everything else. Yeah, it was a disappointing night, but can we pull it out so we control both? And I still think we can make, you know, ham out of hamburger. And it still isn't over. Everything's, I'm really looking and, you know, look into Arizona. I truly hope Nevada also stays. But
well, and it's,
we're not going to. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say what I was seeing is in Arizona, a lot of these are votes that came in on the last day, on election day. And there is a strong.
And that's important. That's. Yeah.
And that's there's a strong feeling there that that those will be going for Carrie Lake and Blake Masters.
Right,
you know,
right.
And again, I think, well, let's briefly talk about, and again, anybody wants to weigh in, go ahead, just unmute yourself. I see Brian Jundep's joining. We'll bring him on closer to 3:30. I think, and on one level, Florida and Texas, huge spots. I mean, look at this. So in 2016, Hillary Clinton won Miami-Dade in Florida by 30 points. In 2020, Ron DeSantis lost in Miami-Dade. She won by 30, rather. In 2020, Ron DeSantis lost by 20. And last night, he won by 11. Now, that's a huge shift, right?
That's literally almost impossible to believe, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you, I know what I make of that, but what do you make? Before you have to go, what do you make of that?
Well, I make it that they've lost the Hispanic population. You know, the Miami-Dade is, you know, it's always had huge Hispanic, also has Black population, but you only take Miami-Dade if you take that Hispanic one. So at least in Florida, the Hispanic population has turned Republican, which is great. It hasn't gone that far in Texas. They're hoping to get three of those border count districts go Republican, and only one did. But, you know, it's a great sign that Hispanics are not going lockstep with the Democrats. And I think that's one of the most encouraging signs is. I mean, I didn't see them coming for the Republican Party here in Colorado, but nothing comes to the Republican Party here in Colorado.
Well, Friday, the whole show is going to be about Colorado. Let me just say this about Colorado. I think Colorado is now a blue state. I think undeniably it's a blue state. Yeah. I think the voters are blue. And I think when you combine the voters being blue with the Democrats' infrastructure and ballot harvesting, that Colorado, I think, is lost. Yeah, I don't know for how long. And this is what I think. I think we need to blow up the establishment Republican Party in Colorado, start from scratch, never again let them tell us that we have to nominate a Joe O'Day because that'll bring people in. No, we need to just blow that up, get an entirely new set of people in who can say, okay, let's look realistically at this state. Let's see what races we can win. Let's start like the Democrats did in Blueprint Colorado, right? Start building salt. But that's a whole thing for another day. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead. I do have to start bringing some groceries in.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things I want to talk, and we'll talk more about this, is Trump DeSantis. You know, there's a lot of people bashing Trump out there today, but I would like to point out that Trump's record, what did he have? 174-9. So Trump endorsed candidates, you know, maybe he didn't have the greatest night last night, but he had a good night and he's had very many good nights.
And there are a lot of
people saying, oh, well, he needs to give up and let Ron DeSantis take it. But I would argue.
No.
Your thoughts on that?
No, absolutely not. We know, Ron DeSantis endorsed Joe O'Day and did robocalls for him. So if you want to turn the party back over to Jeb Bush and everybody else, let's do DeSantis instead of Trump. No, let Trump be Trump and go forward. All right, I got to go.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. All right, Chuck is on. All right, thank you, Chuck. You're the co-host. Leo is saying Arnold Kindergarten Cobb could get his class to count the votes faster than these states can. Well, yeah, Marco Rubio was tweeting Florida counted millions of votes in like 5 hours. What's wrong with these states? Well, I think we know, right? We saw in Maricopa County from the beginning, they had what, 20% of the voting machines are all screwed up. So let me know. Okay, so Chuck's gone. So 888-627-6008. Or if you want to unmute yourself and comment, you can go ahead and do that too. Here's a couple of things that I want to talk about. I think one, there are lessons to be learned and there are things we have to do. Okay. One, the polls. I think clearly the polls are off. Now, I think there are a couple of reasons for this. I think we need to be very skeptical about polls from now on. I mean, we've seen them not being spot on, and that's putting it mildly. The poll, I think, industry, the business model is obsolete, right? People don't answer their phones. They don't want to get doxxed or yelled at or shamed or whatever. So they don't necessarily tell the truth. So the polling companies are forced more and more to extrapolate. So last time they leaned too far Democrat, I think maybe this time too far Republican. So that's the issue. The other thing that the polls don't take into account is ballot harvesting, right? You can, if you're going to just talk to the people who you think are likely voters. You're not talking to the ballot harvesters. You're not saying, well, how many ballots do you think you're going to get? That's another reason I think polls are off. So I think going forward, we need to be really, really skeptical about polls. Okay. One thing I think is also true that we saw, particularly here in Colorado, is Democrats are crazy. I think this country is more polarized than the Democrats are than at least I realized. And the Democrats might say in a poll, oh, I care about crime. I care about the economy. I care about this kind of stuff. But when push comes to shove, they'd rather be, you know, paying sky high prices and have their car stolen every morning than they would to vote for a Republican. I think the Democrats are just nuts that way. And I think the Republicans, we need to realize, we need to get over this thought, I think, that we can somehow persuade a Democrat to be reasonable and vote for some good Republican ideas, because they're just not going to. I think one of the other things is, and I think the Republican Party is going to have to deal with this. It appears, looking at some of the exit polls, so from talking to people who actually voted, that abortion was a bigger issue. We were talking to Ted Trimpa, a Democrat strategist, the other day, and even he was saying he thinks the Democrats were wrong to play that up. I don't know. Maybe accidentally they were right on that. I think that that was a bigger issue to at least the people were indicating than I thought. I thought it was going to be way down on the list and it was higher up. And then the other thing, and Chuck and I have talked about this all the time, and that's the ballot harvesting. I think the Conservative Treehouse had a great explanation for this. It said that there is a difference between ballots and voters. And the Republican Party stupidly keeps trying to emphasize voters. And we want to have debates and we want to have meet and greets and we want to have honking waves and things like that to excite our voters. Okay. Democrats, as we've seen, Joe Biden campaigned from his basement. Look at Fetterman. Look at the what's her name in Arizona? Katie Hobbs didn't debate, right? Didn't seem to hurt them all that much. And that's because the Democrats understand what really matters is ballots. They understand that if they have to win on their ideas and on their messaging and on actually getting individual people to go to the polls and cast a vote for them, they're going to lose. What they have perfected, and it's, I think it's probably a lot easier and a lot easier to control, is the harvesting of ballots. And Republicans have got to figure this out. They've got to figure out, and they've got to combat it too. And as Brian Jundep says, it's not who votes, but who counts the votes. Hey, Brian, if you want to go ahead and pop in, if you're here a little bit early, we can do that. And Barney, I got to say, before we bring Brian on, Barney, I see you're there. Are you able to comment? Because Barney, we haven't talked to Barney. Hey, Brian, we haven't talked to Barney.
How are you?
In a long time. And Barney, if you're listening, I was going to text you the other day, and then I thought you might think it was creepy to have a talk show host texting you to see how you were doing. But feel free, Barney. Charlene told me I need to call on you to comment, because we've all missed your rants. Were playing on some. Are you there, Barney?
Yeah. What did you do? Fire Chuck?
No, he's being a lawyer today. So he had to go be a lawyer.
Oh. the groceries. I get it. I thought he was carrying groceries, literally. I see.
So what do you make of the whole thing, Barney?
Nobody really gives a damn what I think, but nice background, Dr. Bug, June Bug. I love Carrie Lake. She's just awesome. But I played into the fact that, Arizona's going to do this. She's 11 points up. They elected the turd, John McCain, over and over and over again. I have a feel either everything's rigged or the country's over, or we're Europe. I mean, the whole country. And by the way, there's all this talk of the diesel shortage. We always have shortages at the rack. I don't know if it's real, but if all hell breaks loose and then we can get diesel, then you're not going to get gas, you're not going to get groceries, which there's already going to be the food shortage. But right. I don't think, you just said it before I said this, your liberals don't care. The Democrats, look, they voted for Hillary. If you cannot say that Hillary's not a pig of a woman, I don't know. And Joe Biden, literally crapping his pants, Joe Biden, poopy pants. I mean, at least give us, and they could turn around and say to me, well, Trump is this and Trump is that. And yes, he's a jerk. He's a lot of things. But the reason we got Trump is because there were 16 establishment guys on that stage. We were tired of the Bushes. we're going to vote.
Right.
And say, Joe O'Day. I'm not going to vote for Joe O'Day. He's not. He sounded like Cory Gardner to me.
Worse than Cory Gardner.
He was, exactly. So, you know what? When all we ever used to hear is party first, party first. Well, yeah, I guess that's true. And that's what Democrats do. That's how they'll win. They don't give a damn how bad it smells, how bad it stinks. Look at Fetterman. I mean, I don't think he's a bad guy, but are you kidding me? He babbles? Literally babbles?
Right.
And this is going to be your U.S. Senator? And well, I don't like Dr. Oz.
He elected a dead guy in Pennsylvania, too. I mean, that's sort of the epitome of, if you can, if you're a dead guy and you can win, I mean, you know, that's really not caring. I don't know if they're going to carry a stick figure up there. No, I think they'll have a special election. Well, let me ask you this, and then we'll get some comments. We'll go to Brian. What do you think? There are some people out there, the usual suspects, saying abandon Trump. Trump needs to drop out. Let DeSantis win. I don't think so, but what do you think?
No, you've got to hang on to Trump. It's not fair. Look, you can say whatever you want about Trump, but look at DeSantis. I like DeSantis now. I didn't like him at first. He will disappoint us. I'll guarantee it. Like Chuck said, he's going to disappoint you. And I like the guy, but no, he's going to, no. But say what you want about Trump. But look, if we can't win with Trump, if conservatism is dead, so be it. It's dead. But I'm not changing my values. I'm not. I've given the party my vote, lock, stock, for at least the last 18 years. I voted Republican all the way down the line. They're not going to get it anymore. They're just not. So, and I don't know where we go from here, but I know Christy Burton Brown doesn't have a clue. And Dick Wadham, you're full of shit, too. All these people, they're just full of crap. They really are. But anyway, I hope to God that Carrie pulls it out. I really want her to win that. And I don't even think I'd like Blake Masters, but I'd like to see. But I just hope that she pulls this one out.
I do too.
I really do. But anyway,
all right, nice thanks, Barney. Good
Let's
to see
go
you
listen
too.
To my good doctor. He knows everything. He's got a nice background. Did you see that background on his call?
I do. I'm looking at that.
Okay, unmute me.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. This is from Charlene. Brian, before we get to you, the machines are programmable and hackable. Winners are decided way beforehand. Chaos creates cover for the steal. She agrees with you. It's not who votes. It's who counts the votes. It's so obvious now, or can people be gaslighted into their own demise? Brian, welcome to the show. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
I should be unmuted.
You are unmuted. Okay. Your take on everything.
And I'm getting too much commentary on my background, so I unblurred it so you can you can see what's behind me at home. It's Colorado's very disappointing. I'll start with a couple comments about Colorado. Joe O'Day lost. He was very anti-Trump. Lauren Boebert, last I heard, was too close to call and a little bit down. She was very pro-Trump.
Right.
So I don't know if it's as simple as pro-Trump, anti-Trump, because we had two candidates in the state, one of each, and looks like both may lose, could lose.
Right.
Really what it comes down to, I see two options. One is rigged elections and unreliable voting machines, unreliable counting. It doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes. And you've got scanners and barcodes, and they're reading barcodes, and who knows what those barcodes say. It could have nothing to do with the boxes you filled in.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So call me a denier, call me whatever. I'm just questioning and prove that it's safe and reliable.
Right.
And why don't we have results that same day? Every other country has results that evening. It's no
Florida
not
did.
Difficult. You win the Mega Millions lottery. Soon as the lottery ends, they know who won and they know where they bought the ticket.
Right. Exactly.
These are millions of people buying lottery tickets. Here it's they warned us it's going to take days. It may take a week or longer. This is absurd. This is third world country stuff. And people don't trust it.
Right.
In terms of Trump, DeSantis, it's still Trump's party. And I think they're, you know, some of these moderates, Democrats, whatever, because it's Trump's party, all things Republican are evil. And I've talked to people that think that way, that once upon a time would have voted for Reagan or Bush. And they're like, you know, Republicans are, you know, racist and Russian collusion and this. Everything Trump's been accused of, that's the Republican Party now. And they're very happy to have inflation. They don't care about inflation, about crime, about anything. It's just, you know, they can't have a Republican. And that's the obsession. And in a democracy, you get the government you vote for, so, or the government you deserve. And that's going to be a unfortunate, sad reality for people that live downtown Denver or other places that are going to be harder hit with homelessness and, you know, consequences of sanctuary policy, illegal immigrants, crime, et cetera. And I really don't have sympathy for that. But there are a lot of people caught up in it that don't deserve that and don't want that.
Right. Same in New York City. They don't care about those people. I mean, that's the thing, right? I think it's clear the Democrat Party abandoned the middle class.
They're the party of the coastal elites, you know, the laptop class, the Chardonnay sipping liberals and East Coast, West Coast. And that's who they cater to.
Right.
Their base of support is, you know, it's Wall Street. It's big pharma. It's Hollywood, academia, sports, all the millionaires, the millionaire class. That's who the Democrat Party is. And they paint themselves as for the little guy. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi's the little guy, you know, with her freezer holding thousands of dollars worth of gourmet ice cream. Yeah, that's the little guy. Everybody has a freezer full of ice cream.
And from Charlene, and this, we've said this too, they should have audits, prove that the elections are fair and accurate. When you have to warn people that you won't be able to do your job, count the votes, you should have a different job. Explain about the undervote and are the numbers from Secretary of State even real? Well, you know, they're still coming in, and that's, there's so many questions about there's a difference between ballots and voters. But let me, before we kind of get into that a little more. So Chuck was, as he said, he was just immensely depressed. And then he woke up this morning. He's like, oh, wait, he goes, we may actually, looks like we are going to win the House. And he goes, hey, shoot. And there's a chance we may take the Senate. So he kind of perked up a little bit. What are your, I just think we can't believe the polls anymore. And we can't let ourselves get, you know, either depressed or exhilarated by the polls. But what are your thoughts on how it went?
Well, you know, maybe the polls were correct and it's the counting the ballots that's incorrect. Yeah. I don't know. Anybody that talks about it is immediately castigated as a denier and a, you know, racist, sexist, bigot. And we're called names, including by some on your former radio station. So those are things you can't bring up without being shouted down. Just for asking questions, it's treated very much like COVID. Like if you ask about therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, or the merits of masks or distancing or anything else, you're shouted down and run out of town. As a physician, you can lose your license for even asking these questions. So it's the same thing with asking about electoral integrity and reliability. And when you hear that 20% of the machines in Maricopa County aren't working, well, why aren't they working?
Right. It's not like the election was a surprise. You know,
you never see that at Walmart or Target, that 20% of the self-service kiosks aren't working and are, you know, giving away free merchandise. That never happens.
Right.
So why should voting be that difficult?
Right. And yeah, coincidentally, in a key battleground thing, although I do think on one hand, and I hope, that if we do indeed take the House, and from everything I'm reading, it looks like we're going to, and they're still talking about doing investigations. I mean, I think even with a small majority, I think a lot can happen. And I think that's going to be good. But I agree with you. I think we need to fix some of these other issues or, you know, it's going to continue to get worse. Let me ask you about on the COVID. I had one thought. So I think Ron DeSantis was rewarded in a way for his stand on COVID. Right. I think people appreciate he kept the state open. He kept their jobs going, things like that. I think Kristi Noem, too. And I also think perversely, because he was so twisted about it, Jared Polis benefited, too. I mean, I think Polis was able, I think, remember last time he got out ahead and said, oh, COVID's over. Emergency's over. People shouldn't have to wear masks, you know, avoiding the whole thing that he locked us down and destroyed businesses in the first place. You know, I just think Polis has done a great job at portraying himself as something that he's not.
Well, Polis is a good politician and he's good at triangulating. He's a clever guy. He's successful in business. So you got to know what you're doing and have some smarts about you. Yes, he triangulated and he kind of took the middle ground and he left it up to every county to decide what they were going to do. You know, he'll make recommendations and most of the counties will do what the state government says, but he could kind of keep arm's length.
Right.
That was something Bill Clinton did very well. And Polis does that. And he doesn't, he doesn't come across as a, you know, flaming leftist like Newsom, Whitmer, Hochul, you know, Pritzker, some of these others that
right.
they still won.
Right.
But Polis is smart and he's positioned himself so he's not a, flaming nut job like some of these other governors. And I think that was helpful to him.
What do you think in terms of, like I said, the results? I think a lot of people were expecting tsunamis, red wave. I think even the Democrats were to a certain extent. Do you think it's largely just the voting, the election integrity issues or what? You know, I mean, we had you on the show last week and you were feeling optimistic. You and Chuck are both feeling optimistic. That's something, you know?
Well, I was because it's the economy and the economy's the worst it's been since Jimmy Carter. And, you know, Obama lost more in his first midterm than Biden did in his first midterm. Yeah. And, you know, say what you want about Obama, but it wasn't the disaster we have now.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have runaway inflation, recession, you know, all the stuff that's going on now. Obama presided over a better state of things.
Right.
And he took a bloodbath in the midterms.
Right.
So what do you think? Why did Biden get a pass? So, I don't trust it. You know, Biden's not the smartest guy and he lets things slip. And he talked about it's going to take 3 days and be patient, blah, blah. Well, that's foreshadowing what happened.
We're seeing. Right.
You know, and these scanners and mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting and no signatures and no ID. It's incredibly sloppy. And there's no other sector of the country that operates like that. You don't get on an airplane like that. You don't get into a government building like that. You don't cash a check. You don't go to a liquor store. There's so many other things in everyday life that require more scrutiny than voting.
Right.
And one can argue that voting is far more important than any of these things.
Yes. Well, this is
deliberate. This is not accidental. Once upon a time, that's how it was.
Right.
And there was a consent decree against the RNC, I don't know, 40 years ago, where they couldn't have poll watchers or whatever.
Right.
And ever since then, it's been suspect, and COVID made it worse. They used that. So if you want to go down a rabbit hole, was COVID a way to rig the elections and get rid of Trump? Well,
yeah,
you can make that argument. If you say, let's come up with a scenario if we have Trump that's presiding over America doing very well. Economically, foreign policy, etc. Say what you want about Trump, but things were doing well under him.
Right.
And if there's a concerted effort to get rid of him by the donor class, the elites of both parties, this is the Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, Kevin McCarthy wing as well. What better way to do it?
Well, here's from Charlene. And again, any of you guys feel free, like Charlene and some of you guys who like to unmute yourself, you can feel free to do that. But she says it's either believe certain races are targeted and, quote, compromised, or people have been gaslit into voting for their own demise. I choose the former. Yeah, I mean, let's look at some of the issues. It's like immediately in Maricopa County, like you and just Maricopa County, right? 20% of the machines were having a problem tabulating. Then they said it was something like, oh, the printer ink was the wrong color. I'm like, didn't they just
They run out of paper. Then they're running out of paper.
Right. So,
you know, this doesn't happen.
Right. And then you had in other places, they said that they were under a cyber attack. Well, I'm like, I thought they couldn't be cyber attacked. Right. I mean, there were all kinds of questions.
Yeah, they're connected to the internet and it's, you know, I don't know what's happening beyond that. You hear stories about U.S. Cyber Command is monitoring things. Well, you know, so what? So they're watching an election get stolen, don't do anything about it. That's even worse.
Right. Well, and of course, we already know they won't do any. They're the deep state. One thing we'll have to see, I know Mike Lindell was tweeting that he had a team watching things.
Yeah, great. He had a team watching 2 years ago and nothing came of it. So.
Well, the only thing is, if he found something, I hope they're more circumspect about how they release it than they did last time. But I think there are that. And again, I go back to the whole the ballot harvesting thing where basically, well, it's all-mail ballot, right? There are so many states anymore that have the all-mail ballot and the ballots go out. It's no idea. I mean, the ballots go out, but to who? And then who returns them? And the Democrats, last night at 6:15, there was a guy, our neighbors are Democrat, right? He was knocking on their door. He had a cell phone and a tablet and a backpack. And I guarantee you at 6:15 last night, he was somebody trying to collect ballots, right? And here's the thing in Colorado, I mean, you have all these states that doesn't matter when the ballots come in, right? So he's close enough. He could have returned it by 7, but if he returned it today or tomorrow, who's going to care, right? I mean, it's just that you have all these states that have eliminated that too. Signatures. We have a friend who was a poll watcher. He said they weren't allowed to challenge signatures. We don't challenge signatures anymore under Jenna Griswold, right? So it could have said Bozo the Clown or could have been an X. I mean, all of these things the Democrats have done, let me ask you, is it too late, do you think, for Republicans to fight back? I mean, should we just learn to fight fire with fire? I mean, what do you think?
Well, you hate to say if they're cheating, we need to cheat, too, because that's no good either.
Right.
Mail-in ballots aren't inherently bad. There are ways to do it and ways not to do that.
Right.
I got a notice from New Hampshire recently that I had unclaimed property, and it was some talk I gave a few years ago for one of the device companies and a little honorarium or something that I hadn't claimed. But to claim it, I had to fill something out. I had to have it notarized. I had to have a copy of my driver's license and a copy of a utility bill and send all that in to prove that I'm who I am. I mean, that's a little bit extreme for voting, but yeah, attach your official driver's license or government issued ID right, along with the ballot to verify right, that you are who you say you are. That's right, not too much of an effort.
No,
you would have to do that for many other things that we do normally in the conduct of day-to-day life.
That's not surprising. Yeah. I mean, so I did a little bit of research. So 8 states, including Colorado, we were the second one to ever do this, have all mail ballots, all elections. 9 states allow it for specific things. 27 states, including Florida, allow the no excuse absentee voting. But like Ron DeSantis said, in Florida, you have to apply for that with proof that you're the one applying for it 10 days before. And this, I think, is really interesting. 25 states allow somebody chosen by the voter to collect and return the ballots. 13 said doesn't matter. So you've got a total of 38 states, right, that anyone anywhere can collect the ballot, basically. And only one state, I think it's Alabama, you have to be the voter. You know what I mean? You can have a mail ballot, but you have to be the one turning it in.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are other countries that voting day is a national holiday. I'm not a big fan of creating another national holiday, but if it would solve this problem, voting day is voting day. It's a national holiday. You get yourself somewhere and you vote.
Right.
And you have a paper ballot and you vote. Or or the old machines or how we did it a long time ago. And if you can't and you have a legitimate reason, you apply for an absentee ballot. I remember doing that when, in my 20s, you get an absentee ballot and I was in residency or something and I couldn't get the day off to go vote. So you could apply for an absentee ballot, but there was a process for it. And you had to have a legitimate reason. You're out of the country. You're, some kind of shift worker or something that you can't get there.
Right.
And it's like jury duty. You can't just, I don't feel like going.
Well, one of the things Chuck and I were talking this morning, and he wonders, I mean, going back to the polarization, I mean, like I said before, I think that some of it also is that you have Democrats who are they're not going to vote for Republican. Doesn't matter how great our arguments are. Doesn't matter how bad the Democrats are. Like you were saying, they hate Trump. They hate Republicans and they will never vote for them. You know, they'd rather have a dead guy be their representative than a Republican. And Chuck said, it's looking like we're kind of turning into Europe, which has sort of perpetual two parties, neither one. They're constantly sort of struggling. And in the end, the whole thing is a mess. I mean, you've traveled extensively. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, the parliamentary system that they have in the Commonwealth countries, I spend a lot of time in New Zealand. That's how they do it. And they have, you know, there's six or eight parties, and you've got far right, far left, greeny parties, and everything in the middle, you know, more moderate, more fiscally conservative, socially liberal, whatever. But you have to cobble together a coalition, and the coalition may not be perfect. And unless you have a landslide, it's not your party. So compromise is involved. And that's how they do it. It's not a bad system here. You've got two parties that are more alike than different.
Yeah.
The Democrats have their, you know, socialist wing of the party, but, you know, a lot of the old timers, at least in their early part of their careers, weren't crazy leftists, you know.
Right.
Schumer wasn't, Biden wasn't. Yeah, you know, they're liberal Democrats, but not AOC, Tlaib, you know, those nut jobs. So there was hope for the party back then, and it could be. But now, you know, Democrats have gone left, the Republicans have gone to the center, and how do they distinguish themselves? You can also argue that the Republican Party as a whole really didn't capitalize on things.
Yeah.
The article I wrote a few weeks ago, the simple message should be, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago or 2 years ago? And look at inflation, look at what you're paying for gas, for groceries, look at your investments, look at what's going on foreign policy, where, you know, we've got World War III by proxy going on in Ukraine, open borders, fentanyl, homeless, all these things are worse.
Well,
and if you want more of the same, the message is simple. That's the stump speech.
That's right.
These are all the things that are worse. And if you like it and you want more of it, vote Democrat. If you don't, vote Republican.
And I think we
have. Good night. That's it.
And I think we have to be careful not to get too pessimistic, because that message worked in a lot of places, right? It worked in Florida. I mean, there were a lot, J.D. Vance one. I mean, there are places in New York and in Wisconsin that flipped Republican for the first time ever. I see Charlene's got her hand raised. Hey, Charlene, go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Well, you know, I've been reading some things on Facebook where the RINOs are calling the loss due to low Republican turnout. It's called undervote, which I don't quite understand. Right. But anyway, and so they're saying, well, if Republicans had just gotten out to vote, you know, it would have been different. And they don't give any credence or possibility to election interference or,
right,
or you know, compromised elections. They don't even introduce that thought. But so to counter that thought that we didn't get enough people out, then it's like, They brought in Dan Crenshaw and Chris Christie to get people out.
Well, there you go.
How different would things have been, possibly, if we're going to go with their argument that not enough people turned out? How different could things have been if they had brought Trump in for turnout? I mean, that would have really rallied the base. But
well, Trump was. He was doing rallies and such. And I'd like them to verify their numbers.
Right.
And well, see, because I think Republican turnout was high. I don't have numbers in front of me.
Okay, but I don't have numbers either. But they're saying in Colorado, turnout was low. And so anyway, but that's because they didn't rally the troops, and they didn't bring in the right people to rally the troops. So it's just another way for RINOs to beat up on conservatives. And, you know, I've just had it with RINOs, and they have co-opted the Republican Party. There's no way conservatives are going to get any control of it. They're using us for our numbers, and we're getting beat around the head and neck. And I mean, I don't know why we have to continue with the abuse while we can't start a conservative party. And I know people say, oh, we'll never win. We'll split the vote. We're splitting the vote anyway.
We're
fighting Republicans as much as we're fighting Democrats.
Yeah. And so, we'll be talking about, we're going to have both. Yeah, Dave Williams has got some great ideas, and Ted Tripa on Friday. No, you're good. You can keep talking. I mean, I think one thing, I know you're talking about Colorado, but again, let's not get gaslit, right? I mean, all the major, everybody hates Trump, the establishment media, the RINOs, the establishment Republicans, they hate Trump. They're trying to blame the fact that it wasn't so great on Trump, which is, I think, totally undeserved. Yeah. And so they're twisting it, and we're falling into their trap to think, oh, well,
exactly. We didn't lose. We're falling into their gaslit narrative. Yes. And listen,
the ruling class does not want Trump because he cannot be bought.
Right.
DeSantis exactly. can be bought. DeSantis doesn't have his own money. He's going to take money from big corporate donors and he will be beholden to them.
Right,
so, yeah, he's good. He's charismatic. He did a great job. DeSantis also benefited by a lot of Republicans and conservatives leaving blue states and moving to Florida over the past 3-4 years from New York, from Illinois, from New Jersey, et cetera. So that doesn't give him all of his 20%, but it does give a chunk of that.
Right.
And it just makes those other states more blue.
Right.
I don't know, you know, Colorado, the majority affiliation is unaffiliated. That's the biggest voting block.
Right.
And a lot of those are probably like me. I'm unaffiliated because I'm annoyed with the Republican Party in Colorado.
Right. Right.
So I don't even want to associate with them because they're perpetual losers.
Agree.
So
blame the people that could have turned things around. They try to blame them for the loss.
Right. Exactly. Hey, Charlene, thank you. Well, Brian, if you want, can we talk a little bit about Colorado?
Sure.
Because I think exactly what Charlene said, it's like, don't ever, I think we just blow up the establishment party. So this is the fourth general election where the Democrats took every statewide race, okay? In the last 20 years, Colorado's elected only one Republican senator. There was Cory Gardner, who was a goof. We're going to lose in the state Senate, right? I mean, even the most rhino candidate, Joe O'Dea, the most rhino Senate candidate, Colin Larson, lost. So the rhinos are not winning either. And it's like, I don't even want to hear it from the Colorado Republican Party that we need to continue to unify behind loser candidates. I believe we need to blow up the establishment in Republican Party in Colorado. Maybe, like Charlene, set up a different party. Or I just say, take over this one, which is hard to do, I know, with the donors. That's what Chuck would say. But I think you're right. It's like they keep giving us candidates that are awful. And then they're like, how come you guys didn't turn out to vote? It's like, well, because you gave us an awful candidate.
Yes, doing the same thing over and over again is the definition of insanity. And we keep doing it with the Cory Gardners. We moved to Colorado 20 odd years ago and you had a Republican governor and two Republican senators and Tom Tancredo.
Right.
And, you know, it was a different makeup. It's gone very blue, partially because you've got people leaving California and other liberal hellholes, yet they bring their voting here.
Right.
It's not like they've had a come to Jesus moment and it's like, oh, I can't be a Democrat. I've got to be conservative because what's going on? They just move to somewhere with lower taxes, thinking about their wallet, but they're still voting as liberals. And that's not. What we're doing is not working. And you can look back at all these election cycles of Bob Beaupre and Dan Mays and Walker Stapleton. And it's on and on. It's just it's musical chairs. It's different. Yeah. Name, different body, and then there's Joe O'Dea. Yeah, he's a nice guy, successful businessman. I'm sure he'd have been a good senator, but, you know, totally unforced error to say, hey, I'm going to campaign against Trump. Well, Mike Hoffman did that too, and he was not reelected.
Right.
It's not the only reason. He got gerrymandered and had other issues, but that certainly didn't help him.
No.
He was going to stand up to Trump. Well, he didn't, you know, did he ever stand up to Obama? Was he ever that vocal about that?
Exactly.
No, and I don't know if it's Joe's handlers or focus groups or where he was getting that advice, but it may have been, you know, his campaign people saying, oh, you got to do this because you've got, you know, 37% unaffiliated in Colorado and they're, you know, it doesn't mean they're truly middle of the road moderates. There are a lot that are disaffected with the mainstream parties, and there are a lot of conservatives that are registered as unaffiliated.
Right.
And if there's a conservative candidate, they'd rally behind them.
Right.
I'm not one to say don't vote for Joe O'Dea because, you know, he's bashing Trump. I voted for him because he's certainly better than the alternative. And Bennett was quite beatable. This was a midterm election, and Bennett's had a very undistinguished career. He's done nothing. You know, what are his accomplishments? He's, you know, academic credentials, fine. But he was messed up the Board of Education, and then he's a senator, and what's he done? A lot of nothing.
Right. Well, what do you think? And this is sort of an aside, but I think the Democrats are very sneaky. You know, I think the marijuana becoming legal hurt us conservatives because I think it brought in a lot of people like you say seeking that. And those are younger people who want to vote Republican or vote Democrat. I think that probably the Democrats backed the push, and I think it's going to fail, but to make mushrooms legal in Colorado. But once again, it's going to bring a kind of voter here, right? And at least somebody who's going to register vote. And so I think Colorado, and I think Colorado has turned partially blue, but this is
drop the word partially.
Okay. Well, what I mean is the voter, I think the results have become totally blue. I think the voters have also become more blue. Here, this is from KBB, from Leo. KBB couldn't rally a one-legged dog. We need to have an affiliation of the unaffiliated. So, which we could, well, so do you, let me back off on that because I want to kind of, we only got a few more minutes and be positive. Do you have any sense, House and Senate, are we going to take those, you think? And will we do something with them if we do? Or are you just depressed?
Those are two questions. My guess is that come the new term, we'll have control of both. Arizona is still up in the air. And, you know, Rick Grenell and Kash Patel have tweeted today about very confidently that Carrie Lake will win. And, you know, if they find the votes for her that have not been counted, then they might for Blake Masters and some of the others. Herschel Walker probably will win in a runoff. You know, Libertarian got 3% of the vote. And if that goes, then, you know, he's over 50%. So there's a good chance. And, you know, hopefully Kemp can help there. He had a very good night. He put
right.
Stacey Abrahams to pasture finally, and she got a, you know, resounding trouncing.
Right.
Why do you think that bodes well for Georgia?
Why do you think Kemp won and Herschel Walker did not decisively?
Oh, they're bringing stuff up about Herschel Walker and, you know, what 20 years ago when, you know, kind of his thug life era as a, you know, professional athlete. And that's how a lot of professional athletes, I mean, they're more fatherless kids than there are from NBA players than there are NBA players or something like that. So there are many of them that have a dozen kids and, you know, with a dozen women. And it's almost the culture and some of the sports it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Right. It
doesn't mean he can't change and clean up his act.
And I think one good thing out of it last night, another good thing is hopefully we have seen the last of Stacey Abrams and Beto O'Rourke. I mean, Beto O'Rourke is just like, I mean, is there anything left that he can even run for?
He and Stacey can run for president. That's the Democrat ticket. I think Polis will run for president.
I don't be
surprised. I'm going to go out on a limb and.
Nope. I've been saying that ever since his COVID announcement. I've been saying, and you know what? He would be a pretty darn good candidate. Polis seems to be able to gaslight people and walk this line between being kind of fiscally conservative and standing up for the people. And even though it's not true, I mean, I am absolutely in agreement with you. I think Polis is going to run. And I would say at this point, he probably would have, you know, a pretty good edge.
No, he's clever and he ticks off a big box of intersectionality, which on the left is very important. So,
right, exactly.
There he is. And that's, and if he runs, then Jenna Griswold running for governor. And
oh, my God. Oh,
God help us.
That's depressing.
We'll be like Michigan or New York or some of these states. It's really unfortunate. And I don't know. Does it have to get a lot worse before things turn around? The saying about, men in times where good times lead to bad men and bad men lead to bad times. And that's where we're in now. And bad times will eventually give us good men. But what's going to be left? Is it going to be fixable or are we going to slide into some kind of socialist or will there be an economic collapse? Anything that can't go on forever eventually stops. And this printing money and the, you know, the debt service is now up to $1.4 trillion just to pay the interest on the debt. And the Fed's not done raising rates because inflation's still there.
Right.
We're going to be printing money, which will fuel inflation to, you know, pay the debt that the inflation's created.
And it's like the whole, you will own nothing and be happy about it. And by the way, here's some bugs to eat too. So
Well, that's for you and me. That's not right. For Klaus Schwab and George Soros and the, you know, the Davos crowd. They're going to be eating steak and shrimp, and we're going to be eating bugs, and we're the ones that are not going to own anything and like it. And that's
exactly
that's how empires crumble, and it's empires last 250 years, and here we are.
Yeah. Well, that was depressing, Brian. That's not, but I think you're right.
My depression started last night. It hasn't quite lifted yet.
That's what Chuck says too. I'm like, well, all right, we still have to keep fighting. Hey, listen, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, this was fun.
I sure appreciate it. Thank you to everybody. Barney, great to see you again. To everybody on Zoom, to the great guys at BBS. On Friday, we've got Ted Trimpa and Dave Williams. Should be kind of interesting to see what happens there. So we will see you all then. Everybody have a great rest of your week.